Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
That's just my view, and I'm certainly not going to ask Professor Adrian Puren for his view on what the president was wearing. I don't think that is part of his role at I don't think that is his role as the acting executive director of the National Institute for Communicable Diseases. I'm right about that, right? Eh? You're not going to comment on what the president was wearing.
No, he's just blinding you with science.
Exactly, or something. Either way, South Africa moves to lockdown level one. You comfortable with that?
Yes, I'm always cautious, I suppose, when we move to these readjusted levels and what the implications are, and that with the hope that we continue to have those non-pharmaceutical interventions in place that we chat about all the time. And of course, the rollout of the vaccines are also going to really be critical as well. In looking at the numbers now that are allowed to have contact has certainly changed, if I get that right. I think it's 700 indoors and 2,000 outdoors.
Or maybe 750. Yeah. I mean, these are big numbers.
These are big numbers, yes. And so in that context, I suppose one is always cautious around what the implications are, because that means greater contact, the likelihoods of transmission, super spreader events, you know, all of these particular factors certainly then contribute to our caution. And of course, if the vaccine rollout does not achieve its specific objectives, which I think even the president, I think, has recognized may not be the case, then that could still lead us to a surge or resurgence. Maybe, I hope not to the same extent as what we've seen with the third. And obviously, more importantly, you know, I know that we do have reinfections and breakthrough infections in the case of the vaccine, that in fact the severity of disease and therefore the hospitalizations and deaths will also then, and our hospital systems not be overwhelmed. I think that those are the key factors that we need to observe. And of course, dramatically, of course, will there be a variant that emerges from Delta to change that picture? I think that those are the sort of things that we just need to be.
That's probably the biggest risk factor, if I understand correctly, given the fact that so many South Africans have been infected by the Delta and have had the vaccine, and we see that the vaccine not, you know, doesn't obviously protect against infection, but it does protect against serious illness and death in terms of the Delta. The unknown would be a new variant.
Yes, that's correct. And a new variant that we, I think, would predict, but again, we need to be cautious, that we would predict that the current vaccines should be protected and or that individuals who have had a previous exposure to, let's say, the Delta variant will also have a level of protection. But, you know, you don't want to end up in a scenario where we'd had, for example, the Beta variant, where responses to previous exposures and or vaccines are not that great, although the likelihood of that is small, but I may eat my words and wear another shirt. But, you know, that would be very important consideration, yes.
In terms of, and I saw that was quite interesting, that he didn't announce that masks masks could be removed outdoors. And there was a lot of conversation around that in Israel, the thought being that they did that too early. What is your response to that? Following what you've said, I presume that's what you wanted, is not to remove masks outdoors.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that even though I know that the risks outdoors are less so, but given the numbers that are allowed to congregate, and knowing that our ability to manage that type of numbers may not always be in place, I think we should still try and encourage as much mask wearing as is possible. Yes,
the concern.
I mean, I know that the whole overall MPI problem has been problematic in terms of our ability to implement it, but let's still try and engage and encourage communities to wear their masks, yes.
Well, certainly it was something that I noticed over the last few days of the Jewish holidays, as people were getting perhaps more relaxed, as they were feeling a little bit more confident. I certainly had concerns around a lot of the events that I saw, and gatherings that I saw with, where people were really much more relaxed perhaps than is warranted. Absolutely. And I understand it because we're desperate. We are absolutely desperate to interact. We're desperate to have a little bit of normality. But at the same time, we certainly are not out of the woods yet.
Absolutely. And I mean, you're quite right. I've noticed some photographs either on the Egg account or the newspaper where you see people standing together without masks. And you think, is this now or is this pre 2020? And I think, unfortunately, I think it's now. And I think that people are practicing these particular types of behaviors. Mm. And the implications are, you know, that you could still, especially if you're not vaccinated, but even if you were vaccinated, I think I would still encourage people to wear masks. Mm. I may be out of favor, but yeah, I would still do that.
Yeah, well, we don't, we're not here to make people happy. We're just here to provide information that, and they can, you know, like it or not like it. It's just that this is your view and you need to be comfortable with that. What about under 18s in terms of under vaccinations?
18s. Yeah, so my sense would be, you know, that we could consider it at one particular point. I think when we have endemic control, but I think for the moment we really need to get our vaccine coverage, especially of the older age groups above 50 and with and without comorbidities, I think should really be our priority.
But at this stage, you know, the thought I have, and I'm not sure that I agree with you on this, is because if the over 50 year old have had months to go and get the vaccines, and they can do so with the greatest of ease. The fact that they haven't done so, because the sites aren't absolutely jam-packed that people are waiting for hours, it's not the case. So they've clearly chosen not to. Why not allow a group who does want to, and let's just get the vaccines into as many arms as possible? What is the logic or the rationale of waiting for people who have had the opportunity for many months but haven't yet taken it up?
So I suppose the counter to that, in a way, and I understand your point, and but I think children below the age of 18 and so forth, they and I'm not saying this in order to minimize the problem, is that their contribution in terms of transmissions and so forth is not major. The outcomes for that particular group, again, in terms of hospitalizations and deaths, and again, I'm not minimizing the seriousness on an individual level, is not major. So in that context, by vaccinating that particular group, to what extent are we really contributing to actually reducing transmissions to that extent or a significant extent? Mm. Whereas, you know, the focus really should be in the older age groups where transmissions and poorer outcomes are the case. So I understand your point and your concern in terms of getting that particular, those older age groups vaccinated. So what is it, you know, what should be our tack around trying to ensure that they are vaccinated in order to prevent hospitalizations, deaths, and overwhelming our systems, you know?
Right, and one of our listeners asking about the booster for people who have had the J&J medical workers. But I think I read that's happening quite soon.
It is a consideration. I'm not sure where in the process South Africa is. But again, I think we just need to be cautious as to how we're going to do that. I think it is important. Right. But again, in the context of what we're trying to achieve, I think we just need to make sure we're ready for it and that we haven't missed our other targets, hard as they are to come by.